16th of November 2022. Chaos Engineering, Fact or Fiction? Intro. What even is it? I have been a developer and a DevOps engineer, or whatever the latest title is now, for most of my career, and I like my systems to be reliable and well-architected. I like being confident that when the unexpected happens, and it always does, that the systems that I'm responsible for can handle it and not wake me up at 2 a.m. When I talk to developers, I'm often talking about testing and the testing pyramid. We all know its value and the positive investment that it is. The more testing of our systems we have, the earlier we see bugs, the more reliable the application. It's a fairly simple statement, but it's worth reiterating because of how easy it is to neglect in a fast-moving, customer-slash-feature-driven teams. When I talk to operations folk, I'm often talking about business continuity and disaster recovery. We all know its value, but more often than not, disaster recovery is a tick-box exercise for compliance. DR environments, bought and paid for to fulfill compliance requirements, are often not tested, and therefore are a risk in themselves. If not producing meaningful value, one could argue that they are a compliance tax. In order to gain some of that real value, they need to be tested comprehensively and often. So why aren't they? In most organisations I've worked with, the reason these systems are never tested or failed over is because of risk. Ironic, huh? The perceived risk of causing downtime if the DR system and process doesn't work is felt to be worse than the risk of a real incident that may or may not happen in the future. So it sits there, at great expense, providing false confidence. But you came to this post to read about chaos engineering, not boring old DR. Chaos engineering sounds scary, because it's got chaos in the title. But that's what makes it cool, right? Chaos engineering was born out of Netflix circa 2011, and launched into the public consciousness with the release of their first tool, Chaos Monkey, which disables computers on a network to see how other components of their applications react. During the following couple of years, they released a series of similar tools, collectively known as the Simian Army, to trigger other types of failures. The premise was simple. Write an experiment, run the tool, see what happens, and quickly remediate the problems. Sounds like testing, huh? What sets chaos engineering apart from regular testing, however, is when and where those experiments are run. By simulating failures in lower/non-production environments, it is possible to build confidence and find problems earlier on in the process, and by promoting those experiments into the staging and production environments, you're validating the reliability of those systems. Chaos engineering really leans into its namesake when you have sufficient confidence to run those experiments at random intervals, thereby introducing controlled entropy into your complex distributed system and ensuring that most large failures are handled regularly and consistently. This also acts as evidence for compliance auditors that the reliability and disaster recovery plans are real and executed rather than a nice idea on paper. Fact versus fiction. Challenges and reality. Okay, well that's great, but what happens if you're not a FANG company or a tiny startup? Does this even make sense? The question I was asking myself was, is anyone actually doing this? If so, at what scale? That was the question I posed to a room at DevOps Days London 2022. What I heard back from the group there was what I was suspecting, that everyone seems to understand the ideas and principles, but that the risk and the cost of investment doesn't appear to be worth it. This all feels like conversations I was having about testing and automated testing in the mid-2000s. There were people doing it, but there was still a lot of conversation about how to manage it and what the real value was. At the time, there were plenty of arguments, and still are, about too much unit testing, flaky end-to-end tests, and investing too much in testing versus shipping features. Today, the arguments against chaos engineering are about investing in large-scale failure testing, how much time should be spent on this versus shipping features. With software, there are bugs, and everyone seems to understand that developing tests finds bugs sooner in the life cycle. It is therefore a cheaper investment than the cost of finding those bugs in production. The same is true of chaos experiments. Those experiments, however complicated the solution, are cheaper and more cost-effective than having to fix that failure, rebuilding the infrastructure in another region, anyone, But in my conversations with engineers and with customers, the real issue has nothing to do with understanding or the cost that the investment might need. The real reason this hasn't taken off is because cloud providers are very good at their jobs. That's right, because Amazon, Microsoft and Google have invested billions of dollars into ensuring their infrastructure is reliable, properly using some of these chaos techniques. Most ordinary DevOps teams don't see the sort of reliability issues that they may have done 10 to 15 years ago. When an AWS region has near 100% availability, for those outside US East 1, then the argument for investing time and money to writing experiments that test that failure scenario seem to not add up. This is a totally valid and realistic reason for not investing in chaos engineering. But wait, isn't its blog meant to be espousing the virtues of chaos engineering? Well, yes, it is. The mistake people make in conversations about chaos engineering is by assuming that these experiments have to be testing the big failures. Region outages, DNS failures, authentication chaos. That comes back to the history of the types of tools Netflix initially released. They were big tools for big problems because Netflix were building a big platform for massive scale. But 99% of us aren't working at Netflix. My experience working almost exclusively with all three major cloud platforms is that the big failures are very rare. More common are the much smaller failures. Individual services failures. See the public status dashboard history of any provider. And often, those failures only impact a small subset of customers. So-called brownouts. These are the types of scenarios to plan for and to test with chaos engineering. What happens if your application lander executions are slower? What happens if a single app service goes down? Does your application recover gracefully when that Cloud SQL database starts dropping connections? How to start and see some benefits. So the trick is, start small. Prepare for those brownout scenarios and start with one test, then another, then another. No big upfront investments, no massive disaster recovery test, just small, incremental, coded experiments running regularly, forcing your application and infrastructure teams to think about failures and resilience. Not because it might fail, but because it will fail and you're just being prepared. Already seen a service failure? Make that an experiment so you're prepared next time. You might not even have to invest in much of this yourself. There are now tools and providers that understand these scenarios and can support you in testing each of the component failures and how you can improve your architecture, your release pipelines and your processes to better meet this requirement. Give it a go and let me know what you think.